welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza. This program is recorded via remote, and here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, April 30th, 2020. Sudanese authorities worry about medical supplies for fighting against
COVID-19.
We need money to import more medicines. The isolation center in Jabra is now full, and we need to renovate some parts of it.
And Amnesty International says South Sudan is still a market for arms supplies.
Some of the bodyguards of generals and kind of higher-level officials, those bodyguards were carrying Kalashnikov rifles of a style and a particular country that had not been seen in South Sudan before.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudanese health officials say Sudan is likely to run out of medical supplies to fight the COVID-19 within the next 2 weeks unless it receives more supplies from international aid agencies. Sudan's health minister says with nearly 400 confirmed cases, the country will not have the capacity to provide medical care to all patients. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Sudanese health minister told reporters in Khartoum last night that 57 new cases of COVID-19 were confirmed within the last 24 hours, bringing the total to 375 over the past 6 weeks. Atom also says three more patients have died from coronavirus, bringing the death toll to 28 in Sudan. He says Khartoum state has the most with 344 cases, followed by the neighboring Jazeera state with 19 cases. Atom confirms the country is running out of medicine and medical equipment to treat COVID-19 patients.
We need money to import more medicine. The isolation center in Jabra is now full, and we need to renovate some parts of it. We were forced to open more centers such as Universal, Al Muallim, Al Rajih, and Jarash hospitals.
Speaking in Arabic, Atom attributes the jump in cases to citizens who are not following the government preventive directives, including social distancing.
We know we might have made a mistake here and there, and we want to fix it. But what about you, those of you who are still selling in the open market, people who are still gathering at social events? Some of you are still even going for Friday prayers.
The first 29 cases of COVID-19 were people who came from outside Sudan, according to Atom. He says the disease is now spreading by way of community transmission, meaning it is difficult for health officials to do contact tracing. He discouraged any travel in or out of the country, saying that would put many Sudanese lives at risk.
Any family that wanted to see their relatives who are outside the country to come in, you should follow the protective measures so that the infection rate goes down. You should stop all social gatherings, as we instructed you to do so. There is no way we are going to allow anyone, including Sudanese nationals, to come in again.
He says Sudan's high-level task force for COVID-19 will crack down on any individuals found loitering outside their home during the curfew hours.
Anyone who is found loitering during the curfew hours and doesn't have a permit from the government will be punished and the vehicle will be confiscated. We will not give it back until the pandemic is over. The government might even confiscate it for good.
Earlier this week, Sudan's transitional government instructed all state authorities to close their borders to control the spread of the virus. 10 out of 18 states in Sudan have reported at least one case of COVID-19. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Ghana is using drones to transport COVID-19 test kits in remote parts of the country. Stacey Notes reports for VOA from Ghana.
Ghana's president, Nana Akufo-Addo, in a televised address to the nation on Sunday night, said the virus had exposed the deficiencies of Ghana's healthcare system due to years of underinvestment and neglect. He pledged to make a major investment in Ghana's healthcare infrastructure and build 88 100-bed hospitals throughout the nation.
We shall make these investments in our healthcare system not because it is going to be easy, but because it is self-evidently necessary to serve the needs of 21st century Ghana.
Ghana has 1,617 confirmed cases of COVID-19 to date and 16 deaths. Akufo-Addo said the virus had also highlighted the crucial role of emergency services. He referred to Zipline, which has been in operation for a year and is playing an active role in fighting the virus. The Silicon Valley tech business is delivering COVID-19 test samples from rural areas of Ghana to the country's two testing centres in the capital Accra and Kumasi, the country's second largest city. The process begins when healthcare workers place orders for medicine or medical products to Zipline's distribution centres. The deliveries are sent out by drones, which, within an average of 30 minutes, drop a box of medical products by parachute at a designated spot. Daniel Marfo, general manager of Zipline in Ghana, said the company is also sending out personal protection equipment to rural health facilities when they have a suspected COVID-19 case, as well as transporting tests back to labs in the cities. Marfo said this saved time for rural health facilities and is more efficient than road transportation.
Immediately that they have a suspected case of COVID, they reach out to Zipline. Using multimodal transportation, we are then able to reach out to them, pick up these samples from them to our distribution center. And from our distribution center, our drone then flies it off to the testing lab.
Cosmas Tibimaku, a disease control officer, has been using Zipline's drones to deliver samples from COVID-19 patients in Ghana's Sichiri Central District. The district is mostly rural and many areas do not have good roads. He said drones bring samples to testing centres in about one-third the time it would take by car.
All samples, when taken, needs to get to the testing laboratory as soon as possible to maintain sample quality. So comparing the traditional method of sample transport, which is by road, and Zipline's drone technology, you would realize transporting sample through Zipline is more judicious in terms of time, cost, and risk.
Marku said he hopes Zipline expands its drone service to transport other kinds of medical samples and should continue doing so once the pandemic is over. Stacey Knott for VOA News, Accra.
President Donald Trump says he is not happy with China and has asked U.S. intelligence agencies to investigate the origin of COVID-19 in Wuhan, China. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the world has every right to investigate and that the U.S. is also worried about other laboratories throughout China that are conducting research on the contagious pathogens with unknown level of security. VOA's diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain has the story.
Asked about the investigation he has commissioned into China and the World Health Organization, President Donald Trump says he is not happy with Beijing's response when the coronavirus first broke out in Wuhan. This is all transpiring just as President Trump faces criticism by opponents of his own handling of the coronavirus crisis heading into a re-election campaign.
Could have stopped that at the source. They didn't have to let airplanes fly out and loads of people come out.
For their part, Chinese leaders say they want to be transparent and to partner with the United States to fight the deadly virus. But Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the Chinese Communist Party is still withholding information and denying access to its labs.
Look, we still haven't gained access. The world hasn't gained access to the WIV, the Virology Institute there. We don't know precisely where this virus originated from. There are multiple labs that are continuing to conduct work, we think, continuing on contagious pathogens inside of China today. And we don't know if they are operating at a level of security to prevent this from happening again.
Chinese state media has blasted countries for asking for an investigation into how the virus started and spread around the world, saying they are using the virus to unfairly stigmatize China.
Who in the world wouldn't want an investigation of how this happened to the world?
Asked about demands from some that China pay a price for the tens of thousands of coronavirus deaths and the global economic impact, Pompeo said there will be ample time to figure that out later. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Amnesty International says there is market for arms in South Sudan. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Tell me about your favorite person.
My favorite person is my best friend. And we've been best friends since when we were children. And we've grown up. We are in tertiary level and we are still very close and good friends.
My favorite person is my friend. And she's a lady who really knows her worth. She knows her values. She stands for her values and all. She doesn't compromise.
My mom is my favorite person. She inspires me. She gives me the courage to do anything that I want.
Me, I'm a fan of basketball. I play basketball. And the person I like and impresses me too much is LeBron James. I follow him so much and I like his game.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Amnesty International says South Sudan has continued to import and hide weapons despite a United Nations arms embargo. The rights groups is calling on the Security Council to renew the arms embargo it imposed on South Sudan nearly 2 years ago. For VOA News, Dimo Silva Aurelio reports on reaction from South Sudanese authorities.
Even though hundreds of small arms were seen being used by soldiers before the embargo went into effect, several bodyguards for prominent generals from government and opposition forces alike who would have fast access to newly acquired weapons carried models of Eastern European weapons never before documented in the country, according to the report released today. Brian Kastner, a New York-based weapons investigator with Amnesty International, says his team recently visited a dozen military cantonment sites for government and opposition forces around South Sudan where they saw the weapons in plain view.
Some of the bodyguards of generals and kind of higher-level officials, those bodyguards were carrying Kalashnikov rifles of a style and a particular country that had not been seen in South Sudan before compared to all of the other data sets available. These weapons from Romania and actually the former East Germany had not been seen in South Sudan before.
Kastner says Amnesty investigators also found evidence of Chinese-made ammunition fired at a national security base just outside Juba. Whether the ammunition was newly acquired in South Sudan or sold to South Sudan after China said it wouldn't, or sold through a third party and smuggled into the country, all of these scenarios violate the embargo. Kastner says there is also evidence that South Sudan's government procured spare parts and maintenance services for several attack helicopters in 2018, another violation of the arms embargo.
These helicopters were broken at the start of the embargo, and so any maintenance and acquisition of parts of these helicopters, that would constitute a violation of the embargo. And looking at over 300 satellite images, we're able to show how the helicopters moved around, first being fixed in October and November of 2018, and then flying in March of 2019, and flying again in February of 2020.
Colonel Lampaul Gabriel, the SPLM-IO's deputy military spokesman, says the SPLM-IO never had any agreement with foreign dealers to import arms since they were rebels at that time.
We never had any agreement with any country to supply us with guns. Let me just say we never had any supply of guns from anybody, not even including the government, not any foreign government, not any foreign government. What we do, our movement, the SPLIO, has basically survived and defended itself from weapons that our community, the different communities in South Sudan have.
Major General Lul Roy Kwong, the South Sudan People's Defense Forces spokesman, says the military leadership prefers not to comment on the amnesty report.
The decision that was taken by the leadership is not to respond to all the allegations contained in that report.
Amnesty is calling on the UN Security Council to renew the arms embargo based on the evidence found in the report of violations. Colonel Gabriel says renewing the embargo at this time when South Sudan's peace partners are making progress towards restoring peace is undesirable.
Calling for the country to be sanctioned again or to the arms embargo to still stand, it's like the international community or this Amnesty International wants South Sudan to go back into political crisis again.
The arms embargo was instituted in July 2018 and expires at the end of next month when the council is scheduled to vote either to review the embargo regime or end it. Nabil Biagio in Washington contributed to this report. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Thousands of people who fled recent fighting between government forces and National Salvation Front rebels in Mukaya Payam of Central Equatorial State are in dire need of humanitarian assistance, according to local leaders. A United Nations official in Yei say humanitarian workers are providing aid to people sheltering in Yei River County. Daniel Friday Martin has more from Yei Town.
They appear weak and exhausted as they sit under trees at Gezira Internal Displaced Persons or IDP camp, located about 2 kilometers northeast of Yei Town. Aid workers go around assessing the needs of the IDPs, most of whom are women and children. Speaking in her native Pojulu dialect, 45-year-old IDP Lilias Leo, a mother of 8, says she and her children need blankets and shelter.
We are staying in the open and we are calling on the government to help us with sleeping mats and blankets. There are a lot of mosquitoes here. There is no food for us and currently we are sleeping in a small space in a church building. And if there is an outbreak of coronavirus, we shall all be infected by the disease.
Speaking in his native Pojulu dialect, Samuel Karsug Manas, a sub-chief of Mokaya Boma, says the IDPs need food and other emergency supplies to survive. He says they will not go back home.
We shall not return to our villages because of fear of being killed by the armed fighters. And what we want from the government and the NGOs are tents and sleeping mats. We are now an independent country. Why is our president leaving us to be killed?
Kasuk is appealing to the government and armed opposition leaders to respect the secession of hostilities agreement they signed so that local villagers can resettle and concentrate on producing food. Mabe Moses, coordinator for the Yei River County Relief and Rehabilitation Commission, admits the government has done little to help the IDPs.
As a government, we have helped them with a little food, but it's not enough. So we're really asking the organizations at least to help because the situation is desperate. More especially the children and the women. We are coming to rain season. At least they need to help with carpets and even the mats to sleep on. And if possible, mosquito nets.
Robert Isaiah, a lawmaker who represented the Lanya South constituency in the now defunct Yei River State Legislative Assembly, says he worries about the overcrowded conditions at the camp during the coronavirus pandemic.
The number is very big, to a tune of 7,277, so we need to see facilities to be increased. People, they don't listen. Say, stay 1 meter apart, you know, a hungry man is a hungry man. A disappointed person or a frustrated person will not understand.
Yei River County officials are asking more humanitarian organizations operating in the area to help the IDPs. For VOA News, I am Daniel Friday Martin in Yei, Central Equatorial State.
Jonglei State authorities say they are working to rescue women and children abducted during cattle raids and counter-attacks. More than 100 women and children have been kidnapped during Jonglei cattle raids over the past 2 years. That's according to Jonglei State authorities. Dengai Deng has this report for VOA from Bor.
40-year-old Pibo resident Mary Korok says she and her four children were abducted by armed men in February. Speaking in her native Murle language, Korok says her captors beat her and threatened to kill her.
When the attackers came in our area, they found me with my children, four of them. They took them together with me. There was nothing I could do because they were threatened to kill me if I did not comply. We were taken and reaching the bush when they divided the children among themselves.
Korok is appealing with authorities to help in the search for our children.
My message to the government is that my children were taken and I have been left with nobody. Please, I want you to help me to bring back my children.
Another woman, Logoro Nyamor, was also abducted from Pibor in February during the same cattle raid. Speaking in Murle dialect, Amor says she never thought she would make it out alive.
The attackers killed people and we ran into the bush and I was captured by some other men in the bush and that was how I was taken. I am happy that I am back. I never expect that to happen.
Jonglei State Secretary General and Acting Administrator Mabiura Temabiur says the two women were rescued by government soldiers this week and handed over to Greater Pibor administrative officials. A team and local officials suspect the women and about 30 others were abducted by youth from neighboring Akobo County.
We are discouraging the abduction of children and women, and this is our message across the board. We are telling civilians in both states that they need to refrain from this child abduction because it is not okay. It is against the law, and we are warning every person who is continuing to do the same to refrain, or the law will take its course.
Mabiur says the same law enforcement agencies that rescued the women will enforce the law. But out of the more than 100 women and children abducted in Jonglei over the past 2 years, state authorities have managed to reunite only 30 children with their families or relatives. Peter Levelek, Secretary General of Greater Pibor Administrative Area, received the abductees and hailed Jonglei state authorities for rescuing the two women.
I have to congratulate the government of Jonglei State together with the National Army, with all the peace partners like UNMISS, who is always working with us to bring peace and stability to Greater Jonglei. We are really happy for these two women that have been discovered, and we want to assure to the people that the government is working to bring back all the abducted children to their biological parents.
Devereux Chine, head of the UN mission in South Sudan's fields office in Bor, says she is very pleased to witness the handing over of the two women to Greater Pibor administrative officials.
This is a step forward in building confidence, and we hope to see all the women and all the children return, and it restores confidence that peace is possible in the people of Jonglei, Greater Jonglei, in the Low Nuer area, in the Pibor area, throughout Greater Jonglei.
China urges Jonglei and Pibor authorities to work together in order to end the cycle of abductions of women and children in the region. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
South Sudan has continued to import and hide weapons despite a UN arms embargo, according to an Amnesty International report released today. The rights group is calling on the UN Security Council to renew the arms embargo it imposed on South Sudan nearly 2 years ago. Even though hundreds of small arms were seen being used by soldiers before the embargo was put in place, the report says several bodyguards for high-ranking generals from government and opposition forces carried Eastern European weapons. Brian Kastner, a weapons investigator with Amnesty, says his team saw the weapons at cantonment sites in plain view. Colonel Lam Paul Gabriel, the SPLA-IO's deputy military spokesman, says the SPLA-IO never had an agreement with foreign dealers to import arms since they were rebels at the time. A spokesman for South Sudan's National Defense Forces says the army prefers not to comment on the report. Local leaders say thousands of internally displaced persons, or IDPs, who fled deadly clashes between government forces and National Salvation Front rebels in Mucayapayam of central Equatoria's Lenya County, urgently need humanitarian assistance. A UN official in Yei says humanitarian workers are assessing the needs of people sheltering in a Yei River County camp. Aid workers say the IDPs appear weak and exhausted. And finally, Jonglei State authorities say they are working to rescue women and children that were abducted during cattle raids and counterattacks. More than 100 women and children have been kidnapped over the past 2 years, say Jonglei officials. Pibor resident Mary Korak says she and her 4 children were abducted by armed men in February. She says her captors beat her and threatened to kill her. Korak says the armed men split up her children and she still doesn't know where they are. She's pleading with authorities to help find her children. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Corona by Lonely Boy.
COVID-19 virus, coronavirus, is dangerous. A BMC music.
Yeah, I zoned a bit.
Everybody get to know.
Coronavirus.
Everybody get to know.
Coronavirus.
Corona. Ayan batal.
O batal.
Skili ayani. Muskila.
O batal.
Hey brother. You have to know. You have to know,
you have to know.
Corona,
yeah.
Dangerous,
dangerous.
Corona,
yeah.
Iron battle,
oh battle.
It can spread,
yeah.
Through cold. It can spread,
yeah.
Through
sneezing.
It can spread through body contact.
Body contact.
Corona, Corona from China. Let's fight the Corona. We have to stay at home. Avoid crowding. We have to wash our hands with the soap. Wash your hands regularly. Everybody get to know.
Ayalo yemunda kalas, kansulu ya China. Ayenga di Italy, ke yemunda kalas. Iganeta namuko, elala nekenin. Ike ita Roman, ike ita Moret, ike ita Yola, ike ita Yedinge. Ike ita Roman, ayalo yemunda kalas. Corona yemunda kalas.
Everybody get to know.
Coronavirus.
Everybody get to know.
Coronavirus.
Corona. Ayan batal.
Oh batal.
Skili ayani. Muskila.
Oh batal.
We've been listening to Lonely Boy with the song Corona. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for listening. And remember to stay at home, wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from quarantine centers. Join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
I don't know. Everybody get to know.